بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In most Arabic madrasas, there is a famous hadith that is taught by the teachers, by the ustads. إِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. This is better known as Haditha Musalsalat. When you talk of Haditha Musalsalat, in other words, this hadith comes with an unbroken chain from the time of the Sahaba perhaps, or Tabi'i, and then it comes in a certain fashion, in a certain way, that the teacher says that I have heard this from my teacher. And this was the first hadith that I have learnt under the guidance of my teacher. Then the students that transmit the hadith, they say again that this was the first hadith that I have learnt under my teacher and I am passing it on to you. So it comes with that chain in the sequence, sometimes from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sometimes from a sahaba, sometimes from a tabi'i. Various hadiths of this nature, some hadiths, hadith musalsal bil awwaliyat, musalsal bil musafaha, Rasulullah shook my hands and he said certain words. For example, he says, I love you, O Mu'az, and after every namaz, don't leave out saying, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Then Mu'az radiallahu anhu, he passes it on to his student in this very way, telling his student that I love you and don't leave this recitation, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik, after every namaz. Then so forth and so on. So this type of hadith are known as hadith musalsal. So it is common in the students of hadith that they hear this, they listen to this first from their asatiza, from their teachers. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fil sama. Karo meherbani ahle zami par, khuda meherba hoga arshe bari par. Show mercy unto the people of the earth, and the people of the heavens will show mercy unto you. Such a simple prescription. This is a prescription, an antidote, in my understanding, for depression. You want to see cheer and you want to see happiness, then bring happiness to someone else. Just please someone else, bring some type of happiness to him, and you will see that you are flooded with happiness. A little bit of happiness, speak to him in a nice way, in a gentle manner, pick him up if he's down. If he needs a little bit of assistance, help him. If he's made a small mistake, overlook him. If he needs a little bit of guidance, then just push him across. If he needs a little bit of encouragement, then encourage him. In whichever way you can please the person and you can bring him up, bring him up. Why make him remorseful? Why make him depressed even further? Why make him grieve even more? So bring the person up in some way or the other, whether it's through your wealth, through your knowledge, through your understanding, through your wisdom, through whichever way, but bring the person up. Bring the person up. After all, they are all Allah Ta'ala's. When they are Allah Ta'ala's, and if you bring cheer to them, definitely Allah Ta'ala will be pleased, and definitely Allah Ta'ala will reward you with happiness. You brought happiness to him, so Allah Ta'ala will bring happiness to you. It's a simple, easy, straightforward prescription, and to me it's an antidote for depression. But make it a point. And somehow please people, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please them, and be of some asset, be of some good to them, and don't be concerned of how they treat you, that I must treat them how they treat me. No, don't think like that. That's a negative way of thinking. Be positive. I need to bring cheer, I need to bring happiness. I am on a mission to do what? To bring cheer, to bring happiness. So this is the style, this is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People that sat around him feel so cheered up. Anas radiallahu anhu says, when Rasulullah had entered Medina Munawwara, the whole Medina Munawara became brilliant. The whole thing, whole Medina Munawara sparkled. Love, happiness, cheer. So that was the teaching of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't allow anybody to go down. He encouraged and he pushed people forward, brought them up, he pushed them forward. So we, as the ummah of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we should be passing on the message of hope. The message of hope, the message of happiness, the message of rejoicing. That's the message that we should pass on. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam therefore encourage us in the hadith in several ways. One person, famous popular hadith, he committed over 100 murders, 100 or over 100 murders he has committed. And now he comes to someone, I have committed 100 murders, is there any way for me to get out of this predicament? I have landed myself in serious problem. Now you can imagine, now if you just analyze this person's situation, killing 100 people, what a serious problem he put himself into. How many children he must have made yatims and orphans? How many women must have turned widows? How many homes may have become homeless? What problems he must have created? 100 people he murdered. What grief he has caused. What pain he has brought about. So now this person, he comes. In spite of his wrong, in spite of his past, he comes. But I need a clear tarafa for myself. I have caused a problem for myself. Zalamtu nafsi zulman kathir. I have caused great problems for myself. Now is there a way out for me? So he's also shown some way. He's also not left in the dark. He wasn't told, no, there's no way for you, absolutely. Go now, you've been thrown out, and there's no way, no, you can't expect anything. No, you also, there's some way, and we'll look out for a way for you as well. So there is a procedure, there is a way. You follow the procedure, Allah Pak will usher you in. So his mercy is all encircling. It's all covering. It covers everything. Yadullah, yadullah, mabsootatan. Allah Ta'ala's hands are spread out with bounties, with blessings. He just wants to give. By night, by day, he wants to give out. He wants to give. And in the month of Ramadan, even more he wants to give out. But are there any takers? He wants to give. You follow that procedure and you'll find that Allah Ta'ala will bless you like how he blessed hundreds of people. This morning, well, yesterday you heard that hadith or that incident. That man's whole zindagi, his whole life is in idolatry, worst of things, idolatry. Whole life is gone in that. And now just a few days before his death, Allah Pak wanted to bless him. So when Allah Pak wants to bless anybody, then he make all the arrangements, everything, all the systems to work for him. When Allah Pak wants to bless someone, then he'll make all the systems to work. He made the systems work for him. Some people, some traders and some business people had to travel by boat. See that, for this one person, Allah Pak loves his servants. If that servant has got cleanliness, he's got goodness in his heart, Allah Ta'ala will make the system work for him and something will turn out for him. So he had good, some good in his heart. He had a good spot in his heart. Allah Ta'ala appreciates this. So he makes the systems work out for him. Now these people are traveling. As they are traveling, a storm raises. And that whole ship is blown in the direction of that island where that idolater lives. See that all the system is working for this person. For this one single person, Allah wants to bless him. But the systems are working for him. It's a lengthy story, but they get into that island and they ask him to accept Islam. And he wants to know about Islam. And Allah Ta'ala puts the haqqaniyat, the truth of Islam, into his heart. He accepts Islam. And in a few days, Khuda ke pyare ho gaye, in a few days, he's died, finished. And they see him already in Jannat with a beautiful damsel and in a beautiful palace with a dome and all that. In a few days, just before he died, and Allah Ta'ala blessed him with iman. Do you see that? So this goodness has to be in the heart. The secret is this, that we monitor the heart all the time. that my heart, is it good? Is it reflecting good? Is it polished to the right extent? Or is there some deficiency in this heart? Have I got some malice for anybody? Have I got some dirt in my heart for anybody? Or do I not have the right type of association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there some deficiency in that respect? Is my trust in Allah ta'ala wrong? Is my dealings wrong with someone? Am I wishing bad for someone? Or do I think too much of myself? Am I suffering from pride and arrogance? Or am I jealous over others? Or is it that I have the sickness of greed within my heart? Or do I have wrong temptations in my heart? Wrong feelings and wrong temptations in my heart? Do I have all these type of problems within my heart? So at any given moment, the heart is clean, it's polished. And I was thinking of it the last 1-2 days, that the only way you can get it right is just imagine that Allah Ta'ala is watching at you all the time. You see, you can't get your heart right. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Individually, of your own, you can't get your heart in the right shape, in the right finish, you can't do it. That is why in your namaz, repeatedly, you say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhanallah, after namaz. Subhanallah and Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, in other words, all purity belongs to you. So you are as though saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different way, you're asking Allah ta'ala, that, oh Allah ta'ala, you are an ocean of purity. There is no blemish in you. You are an ocean, ocean of purity. There is absolutely no stain, no blemish, no wrong, no deficiency in you. Allah Ta'ala, just cover me up with your ocean of purity. If He's covered you with this ocean of purity, there's no filth after that. So the only way you can get your heart absolutely clear after you checked all these areas, like I said, jealousy sometimes it's pride, sometimes it's arrogance, sometimes it's you having your heart on others, have expectations of others that people will do this for you and whatever. There's two different things. One is when you are interacting and you are transacting, right? But one is to have expectations that he must do it. And then you become depressed if that person doesn't do it. That's not in accordance, and not keeping with the right type of yaqeen. He did it. He didn't do it, it's no problem. One person went to that Shah Abdul Quddus rahmatullah alayhi and asked him to make a recommendation for him. So the Shah Sahib rahmatullah's recommendation was just in 2 words. He says to that monarch or the king that he is interceding to on behalf of this person. In tu'ti فَالْمُعْتِي هُوَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ الْمَشْكُورُ وَإِنْ تَمْنَعْ فَالْمَانِعُ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ الْمَعْزُورُ. That if you get this person sorted out, get his work done, then the real giver is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we will appreciate this of you. This will be appreciated, we will think good of you. And if you prevent, then the real one that is preventing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you excuse in the situation, we won't consider you to be blameworthy, we won't reproach you, we won't have any grudge in our hearts against you, that why didn't you make this person's work materialize, why didn't you accomplish this person's work, we won't hold any grudge in your heart. So the doer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is meant by the heart being right at all times. You know, this person is going to do my work, and that person is going to do it, and this person stop the work from happening. And so the yaqeen has to be right. The heart has to be absolutely right. Allah Ta'ala is the doer. He will make it happen. In the world, you will have to follow certain procedures. You will follow the procedures. No problem. But the trust, the reliance, the expectation, absolutely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in people. You will go and do your business. You will go and speculate which business is better, whatever it is. You will do that. That's normal. But if it doesn't work out, then you don't begin to say, hey, I'm a total failure. Allah Pak didn't make it happen. It didn't happen. One day He'll make it happen, inshallah. So don't you consider yourself a failure and then get into a state of depression. Now that's against the right type of yaqeen. So what we're getting at is one easy way, simple way to get the heart into this finish is you keep thinking Allah Ta'ala is an ocean of purity. Purity beyond which there is no purity. You can't imagine any purity. When you say purity, what you mean by purity is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not short of anything. He is not short of anything. And there isn't anything that is not in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is everything. And I say, all right, you are hafiz, but you are not qari sahib, so you are short. Right? Or you are qari, but you are not a mulana, so you are again short. Or you are a mulana, but you are not a mufti sahib, so again you are short. Or if you are a mufti sahib, you are not a muhaddis, so you are still short. So at some point, you are going to be short. Right? At some point, you are going to be short. Whether it's in your knowledge, whether it is in your excellence, whether it's in your beauty, whether it's in your wealth, at some point you're going to be short. So the only one that is all comprehensive is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's got everything. There's nothing that he's short of. In knowledge, he's got everything. He's all knowing. Right? In power and strength, then he's all powerful. There's no power above him. There's no knowledge above him. There's no wisdom above him. There's no good above him. So he's everything. So Allah Ta'ala, that ocean of yours that is all comprehensive, is complete, it's perfect, that pure, clean ocean of yours, Allah Ta'ala, allow that ocean, allow myself to be dipped in that ocean. That ocean of purity, allow myself to be dipped. I'll be dipped for a second and I'll be cleared up. So have your heart focused on that, subhanAllah. So you sing Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. See? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. You are saying these words here, yeah? But have your mind like this. Allah Ta'ala, if as long as I'm focused towards you, I know I'll be clean. See? I will be benefiting from that purity of yours. And the moment I turn away from you, then again, I am exposed to all the type of dangers, the dirt, and the impurities. But as long as I'm focused towards you, Allah Ta'ala, I'll be clean. So allow me to be focused towards you at all time. So you see, we are talking about the heart being clean at all times. You're going to be clean at all times, then you are receiving from the divine threshold. Any good time, any time you are receiving from the threshold. You are flourishing, your heart is flourishing, your mind is relaxed, your heart is at ease. But as long as your heart is focused to that threshold, the threshold of purity, the unblemished threshold, so your heart must be focused in that direction at any time, any given time. Then Allah Ta'ala, when He sees your heart is like this, He will open up the way for you. He'll make the systems work for you. Wherever you are living, you're living in Australia, Timbuktu, Japan, wherever you're living, but He'll make the system work for you that this servant has got something good in his heart, I will bless him. So this person has killed, he's murdered people, cold-blooded. Can you imagine now what a severe crime he's committed? Can't imagine a crime as severe as this. But now he's got good in his heart. He's coming with a hard heart. He's coming with a remorseful heart. With a sore heart. He's troubled. He wants something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, work things out for me. I have really wronged. I have messed up things for myself. But now, I don't have a recourse. I can't reverse these things here. I don't have a recourse. Now what do I do, Allah ta'ala? So he goes to that alim, whoever. Like I say, this world is a world of procedures. Things don't just happen straight. You want to get at the first floor, you'll have to climb the ladder, you'll have to climb the stairs and you go up. You don't just go straight flying. It's procedures. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You follow the procedure, you'll come to the first floor. Okay. So according to procedure, he went to the alim or to the buzurg that he felt that was more suitable. And he told him, see, in my understanding, things are not going to work out for you. If you want things to work out for you, then you'll have to leave this land of yours, this town of yours, that is flooded in evil. You're going to make Tawbah now, and you're going to remain living here in this town that is flooded with evil, then that evil will overwhelm you again. You make Tawbah, again you're overwhelmed with evil. You make Tawbah, and you're flooded with evil again. So you haven't progressed in any way. So we'll have to leave this town here. The evil influences most situations you can't resist. Well, you will resist it for some moments, for some time you will resist. But after that, that evil overwhelms you. It overcomes you. It has the better over you. You are going towards it, then you become immune towards it. At the beginning, you feel that the television is shaitan box. Then this person has got it, that friend of yours got it, and that family has got it, and that uncle has got it. Until when the whole world has got it, now you see it's not as bad as people make it to be. Do you see how you become immune to the effect? And do you see how you get watered down? Before you said it's a shaitan box, but then the amount of people got it, now that is watered down, the evil is watered down in your heart. Now you don't think as bad of it as you used to think of it previously. And then to top things up, then you got it in your pocket. You got the whole television in your pocket you've got. And when you want to, you can just press a button and you're watching the thing. So that whole evil of that is totally watered down. So when there is a flood, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Evil and wrong cannot be identical to right. Evil is different and righteousness is different. They can't both be identical. No matter how much the evil may be, in spite of the abundance of the evil, yet it can't be identical to right. Even if you make yourself immune to it, it doesn't become right. Wrong will remain wrong and right will remain right. So now you're going to remain in this town here, then you're going to be overwhelmed with the forces of evil. So the right thing for you is to move out from here, go into the Qariyatu Salihin, the village where there's pious people, go there. The town where there's pious people, then the goodness, the righteousness will overwhelm you. Now this evil, dirt, filth, pollution that's covered and polluted this whole land. So you want good health, you'll have to leave this and go into a land which is free from all this pollution. In bacteria, and we understand it very quickly. There's a bug here, so you'll have to leave this land, go into another place, right? We understand that very easily, very simply. So this bug of sin is also here. When this bug of sin is here, then you'll have to leave this land. You can't expect yourself to come right, to come into that mold that is correct, remaining here. You'll have to go into that different mold. You have to leave this environment, go to that other environment, which is flooded, which is covered with righteousness. Okay. So now that appealed to him. Mawlana told him, all right, leave this town here, go into the town of the righteous. You will be affected with righteousness, and it will change you, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala will accept your tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will accept your forgiveness. You are sincere, Allah Ta'ala, why shouldn't He forgive you? When you are sincere, and when you are turning down earnestly, when you are clean in your heart, then why will Allah turn you down? He won't turn you down. What will He get if He turns you down? You're being earnest, you're being sincere, you're being good at your heart, in your heart. So why? What business He's got to turn you back, turn you away? No. He doesn't enjoy that. He enjoys forgiving. He enjoys being compassionate. So He doesn't enjoy depriving you. So it appealed to him, and he went to the town. Now, en route, he can feel the pangs of death, en route. Whatever he is required to do, he did. Procedures, whatever was supposed to be followed, he did. He corrected his intention. He made tawbah. And the third thing that was left for the completion of his tawbah was to leave that land and get into the land of the pious. So whatever was within his capacity, he's done. So this is what Allah Pak wants from us. What's within your capacity, you do that. We don't want you to shift mountains from their places, but we want you to do within your capacity. So what was within his capacity? To make tawbah. To change your niyat, correct your niyat, and then leave the town. So he did all. Now he's leaving, but en route now, and he can feel the pangs of death. The agony of death has already overcome him. So he says to himself, that my sin is definitely serious. Life and death is a different thing. But I need to see that I go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a good face. Allahumma ij'al akhira ayyami yawma alqaka fi. Allahumma ij'al khayra amali khawatimahu. You should make it a part of our dua. Sometimes we make wuzu all these types, you know. You're making wuzu, you're going to read some dua, so why don't you include this type of duas, Muslim duas? How great these duas are. Allahumma ij'al خَيْرَ أَمَلِي خَوَاتِمَهُ. The best of my deeds, let it be the ending deeds. My ending deeds, as I'm ending my life, that is my best deed. وَخَيْرَ أَيَّامِ يَوْمَ أَلْقَاكَ فِي. And the best day, the day I meet you, I'm leaving this world, I'm starting on the journey of the hereafter. Let that be the most pleasant and enjoyable day for me. Can you imagine now? See the beauty of the dua of Rasulullah. Do you see the beauty? The best day, like overall to us, it seems to be the most gruesome, most grieving day, right? But the dua of Rasulullah is teaching us, make it the most pleasant day in my life. The day that I meet you, that must be the most pleasant, the most enjoyable, the most beautiful day, that day that I meet you. The lover reaches the beloved, that day becomes the most beloved. So can't we just include this in our dua, washing our face, washing our hands, Allah Ta'ala, اجعل آخر أيام يوم ألقاك في. If you can't say it in Arabic, say it in any language else, the best day, Allah Ta'ala, let it be the day that I meet you. How long it will take you? 5 seconds. My best day, let it be the day that I meet you. That I come to you, that let it be the most pleasant, most enjoyable day. So you will look forward to that trip, you will look forward to that journey. So this person also, he is more concerned about the journey that is starting in the Akhirah, that journey of the Akhirah that is starting for him at any time. He's more concerned about that. So as he's got the true concern, he's got the true fikr, the true worry, the true worry is now pushing him. See, when you got that fikr right, you got the right type of fikr, right type of concern, and right type of worry, that will push you. No. When my tawbah is in me reaching that land, I must try my best reaching up there. Now he is semi-conscious. He is already in the agony of death. He can hardly walk. And he's struggling. He's crouching on his knees. And he's crouching. No, I have to do this. I must do it. Then Mullah told me I must do this. I will do this. What I can do, I must do. As-sa'yu minni wal-itmamu min Allah ta'ala. I must exhaust my effort. And after that, then it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will see me favorably. But I must exhaust my effort. So he goes on struggling, on his knees, on his foes now, he's struggling. And then Malakul Maut comes and takes away his soul. Soul has departed. Do you see, there's a lot of lessons in this. Now, as his soul has departed, the Malaika are there. Like how when a person dies, right, then you get the hearse coming in, right? Or you get a big breakdown, right, in the freeway. You got 5 breakdowns coming all together, all want the business, right? So the malaika are there. The malaika of Jannat are there. The malaika of Jahannam are there. Punishment and Rahmat. Both malaika have come in. Malaika of Jahannam and of Azab are saying, no, this person here, his whole life was in sin. He killed so many people. And we are eligible. He's for us. We need to take him. He's eligible for punishment, so we have to take him. And the malaika of Rahmat, of Jannah, they say, no matter what it was, but he made sincere tawbah. He turned his life around and he was aspiring for good. He exhausted his effort in the right direction. So we are going to take him. He's more eligible to be in the mercy. He's not eligible for adab. Now, the both malaika are having ikhtilaf, they're having a difference of opinion, you see. So if malaika can have difference of opinion, right, what's day if ulama have difference of opinion? Malaika, farishtas, right, the purest creation of Allah Ta'ala, if they can have a difference of opinion, what's day if ulama kiram have a difference of opinion? All are based on the right. Their argument is also right, their argument is also right. Whole life this man, he was flooded in guna. And this farishta is saying, no, he made sincere tawbah. He was sincere about whatever he's doing. Now there is a difference of opinion. So Allah Ta'ala sends the third farishta to arbiter the whole thing. These two malaika are having it out. So the third farishta is coming in. He is coming to judge, to arbiter the whole case. So he passes the decision that you measure the land. From where he came to the spot he died, and from the spot that he died to the land he is moving to. If the land that he is moving to is shorter, then usher him into Jannah. And if the land that he came from and he died at that spot is shorter, then he's in Jahannam. You see, I explained early on, Allah Ta'ala makes all the systems work. In the meanwhile, Allah Ta'ala makes the systems work again. Allah Ta'ala tells his land, now you shorten up quickly, you contract. And you expand. Who's making it? Who's making it work? This man's heart. You see, this man was good. He committed the sin, he changed his heart. He tried his best. His heart was good. So when his heart was good, that good heart makes everything work. It makes everything work. Yeah, imagine the earth is asked to contract. And you expand. Now, the malaika are measuring. They found that that land that he's moving to is just one hand span long, shorter. Going to Jannah. Do you see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's all encompassing. But all we need to do, change our niyat, be sincere, and then we make a sincere effort according to our capacity, according to our means, how much we can do, we try. Right? Everybody can't be like the great awliya kiram standing for 1,000 rakats of namaz every day. We can't be like that. We can't even be in the ranks of the lower awliya kiram doing 200 rakats of namaz every day. But yes, within our capacity, how much we can do, we don't be lazy, we don't be sluggish. How much we can do in our businesses, in our practices, if we can make a little bit of tasbih, is that going to be counted as a sin against us? We are in our office environment. Right? It's ishraq time, it's charge time. Can't we just read 2 rakats of namaz? Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be in our office. He's guiding us. He's inspiring us with the right type of solutions. Imagine, remember, in your business, in your practice, wherever. But you need to be inspired with the right type of solutions. And the right solution comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have connected there with Him, and you'll find the solutions just coming in your mind. Just coming in your mind. I know the architect that designed this place here, he explained to me once that he needed, we had just spoken to him to design this place here. And he was seated in the masjid, there was a gathering, and there was some talk that was being delivered. He says, just automatically, though, that heart of mine just got inspired. And the thoughts just began to run, this house must be designed, this is the classroom, this is the masjid, this is the sahan and the courtyard. And everything, the picture just came in my mind. Now who brought the picture into his mind? That from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that inspiration. Allah Ta'ala will just give you a slight idea, just give you a small inspiration, and the whole thing will just get covered up. But for that, you need to connect correctly. You need to correct correctly. You connect correctly, and Allah Ta'ala will just inspire your heart. He'll make things work for you. He'll make all the systems work for you. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb.